Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to The Hotbed. I'm Aniki Somerville.
And I'm Lisa Williams.
And we're making the world better, one orgasm at a time.
With your help. With the listeners' help. Thank you.
Yes. I haven't had an orgasm for quite a long time.
Why is that?
Well, it seems ironic that, you know, obviously this is our main sort of passion in life and our manifesto. But because I'm up the duffers, I've been very reticent. I've been worried that it would, especially now, because I think it's 37 weeks, or the implications of orgasming. And so I've Googled it quite a bit, but it's strange. It's been a weird hiatus. So I'm quite looking forward to doing it after it's all occurred. Maybe not in the maternity ward itself, but
orgasmic birth.
No, I can't understand that at all. But I mean, I respect the women who've had it. I think it's probably more likely to happen if you have that at home. But the hospital environment, I know there are specific fetishes around hospitals and hospital equipment, but it just doesn't do it for me.
I think you should take a vibrator. And if the pain is really bad, use it on your bits, because it is supposed to, like, the clitoris is supposed to help.
Is it?
With labour pains, yeah. Yeah, just for an experiment, go on. We've got enough vibrators.
I know, but then you feel so exposed anyway. And I just think I'm the first time giving birth and masturbating in public at the same time.
Yeah, and you know how we talk about how, like, can our neighbours hear our vibrators and will they think that we brush our teeth a lot? In the hospital, there's only, like, that little flimsy curtain, isn't there? So they'll definitely hear you.
Yeah. And I heard, last time I had quite a few people coming in and out because I was in there for quite a long time. So, yeah, I'm sure that I will eventually, but I don't think you'll be in the hospital.
So, listeners, we're writing a book at the moment, which is really exciting. It's with Penguin Square Peg and it's about orgasms. And Aniki has written it whilst being pregnant and too scared to orgasm, even though, FYI, it's completely safe to have an orgasm while you are pregnant, unless there are complications, in which case speak to a medical practitioner. But if we were to write, you know, how many orgasms were had in the writing of this book,
mine would be a big fat zero.
You've literally had none. Have you not even had one in your sleep?
I might have had one in my sleep, but I'm not sure. You see, I'm not 100%. It's not that, I mean, it's a funny time because it's not that you don't fantasize or have those, a lot of female hormones are sort of pumping around your system. But I just haven't, yeah, I have been more cautious. And it is funny because I think when we did our events, we had all kinds of sex toys and I found them quite menacing. But there's also something around, I don't know, I've changed my relationship with my vagina or my vulva at the moment and it's become something more functional and probably less sexual.
But in a few months' time,
maybe.
Getting a duda.
Yeah, hopefully.
Speaking of sex toys, I didn't tell you. I have tried a wand sex toy since we last spoke because I kept on reading about the wand, the wand, the wand. The wand is the ultimate sex toy. And I just thought, oh, I'm going to try one for the sake of
hotbed. So this is the one that's got a big bit on the top and then it's long and thin.
Yeah, it looks like cross between some kind of Babyliss big hair roller and Darth Vader. I mean, it really looks like Darth Vader. It's got a sort of metallic sheen to it. And you have to plug it in such as its might. You know, it is a proper hardcore one. You plug it in, batteries here. The joy of it is that the tip of the wand is girthy and flat. And it vibrates like a maniac. And yet the bit that you hold is stays still, so you don't feel like you're kind of power drilling yourself into the floor.
Mm. And what kind of noise levels are we talking about?
It's loud.
It's basically, because I've got a very loud kettle. Is it kind of like a kettle going on, or is it like a train, or
it's like a road being dug up.
Right.
But it depends what... No, that's unfair, but I'd say it's not the best one to take to hospital. But it's really good. And thank you to Love Honey for sending it to me, because I just contacted them out the blue and I
and you enjoyed and
asked them. Yeah, it was really actually
and
fun.
And do you think it'd be something to do with a partner? Or just because that, to me, we had this theory before about the bigger it is, the kind of more intimidating it is for your other half, because you're kind of bringing effectively another robot into your relationship.
Yeah, this, he actually, my other half found the plastic mold bit that it came in. And he picked it up and he was like, what was in this?
And I said, oh, a magic mix.
Yeah, I said, a sex toy that looks like Darth Vader. And he was sort of quite intrigued, but not intrigued enough to kind of hunt it down. I've had to hide everything from my children. Try it. You might like it. I did.
But it's not one that, it doesn't have an extendable arm. Because I'm sort of thinking, in a way, it would be really useful if you were kind of, your partner is particularly lazy and you're on the sofa. Mm. And it just has a long extendable arm.
You're upstairs.
And he just kind of points it at you whilst being on the iPad at the same time.
Yeah, watching Newsnight.
Yeah. So that, but that's, I'm going to copyright that idea. That's really the lazy person's sex toy.
Yeah, it doesn't have an extendable arm, but it can give you very quick.
Weirdly, if you were out and you were single and you saw attractive people, if it had the extendable arm.
It's getting a bit into Me Too territory.
It is a bit rude, isn't it?
So what's this episode about, Anarchy Somerville?
Well, this one is all about bisexuality,
woo!
Which is an interesting one because we recently did a survey and I don't think we'd really had it brought to our attention, but we realised that quite a lot of our listeners are bisexual.
Yep, hello.
Which is really interesting. And I think we talk about that. And I guess, I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Because I think both of us may have had little flirtations.
Mm.
But I mean, I couldn't class myself as bisexual in any shape or form.
No, I would definitely tick a box saying straight, but I very luckily at university, I went to Birmingham and the newspaper there, which I edited, I think for 1 week, did a lot with the, what was then called the LGBT society. And now it's obviously LGBTQIA+, to cover everything. But back then they did a really cool thing in our newspaper, which is they printed the Kinsey scale.
Mm.
And they said, this scale, and this is true, this scale that was invented in the 40s by Kinsey, he is the grandmaster of sex study.
Grandmaster Flash.
Grandmaster Flash. I said a hip. Ha. Anyway, he did a scale where he basically said, yes, you can be 100% straight and you can be 100% gay, but you can also be somewhere in the middle, and actually most people are not on either end. And also he said it would change throughout your life, and it could change from day to day and from incident to incident. Mm. So it was a really useful way of looking at sexuality, and I think I'm massively privileged to have been educated to that point, to get to a university where I could read that newspaper and find out something as kind of mind-blowing as that, because it does make me look at my sexuality in a way where I think, yes, my behaviour is heterosexual most of the time, but in another life, had I met someone, then I may not have been. And I interviewed Remy Sade, who we've had on the podcast before. She blogs under Books, Baby and Back, and she's a friend of the podcast. She also does her own podcast called All Right for a Mum. And what is very cool about her and why I wanted to talk to her is she was in a heterosexual relationship and it ended badly, and she was feeling really sad and upset about it. And she just decided to download a few dating apps, one of which was a how to meet, for women to meet women. And she dated a woman. She had a great time. She talks about it. And then that relationship ended and now she's dating men again. And she's just not like, oh, I'm going to define myself by this or that or the other. She's just completely open-minded and free. And when we did our female pleasure survey, and it was a bit of a box-ticking exercise, although at the end of every question, I let people kind of write what they wanted. And it's a bit tricky because things like gender and sexuality are quite difficult sometimes to categorise.
Mm. It's interesting. I feel like I'm one of those people that I think a lot of bisexuals and lesbians would be annoyed by, because there are obviously there's straight women who have certain sort of fantasies maybe about having sex with women. Mm. And I think they sort of flirt with it, but never really take it seriously. Mm. So I had a couple of experiences when I was living in Amsterdam where I met a very good-looking lesbian couple, and we ended up having a New Year's Eve party there. Mm. And I remember, because I was very young, I was only 18. Well, it's not that young, but I was still trying to find my way a little bit and under the influence of all sorts of things. Whenever I look back on my life, that's the evening that I kind of regret a bit, because I feel like things could have gone a certain way and they didn't go a certain way. And it was mainly because I was just too frightened and hung up in that scenario. And they were really cool people and very attractive. And I was attracted to one of them in particular, one girl. But I didn't do it. And the other thing that I absolutely hated when I was at uni, which was a big thing, and I think it may still be a big thing, is girls snogging other girls in front of men order to titillate men. And it happened all the time in our like local uni bar. And it used to fuck me off badly, because none of these, I mean, I'm pretty sure none of these girls had any bisexual tendencies. And it was purely for male titillation. And it just pissed me off.
But also, do you follow Florence Given on Instagram?
No.
She's a 19-year-old, or maybe she's 17. She's very young. She's on the teen side of 20. I know that. She's an artist, and she does quite cool slogan T-shirts. And her latest piece of art says, maybe it's not a girl crush, maybe you're queer. Mm. And she did a whole piece underneath it where she said, actually, calling stuff girl crushes to some extent is hiding the fact that we can be attracted to different people at different times and our world is not kind of ready for that. So we have to create terms like girl crush, but oh, it's okay. We are going to like stay heterosexual with all the privilege that this gives to us.
Mm, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. So let's hear from Remy.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, Remy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm really, really good. I'm really happy to have you back on the Hotbed podcast.
Thanks for having me, girl.
So Remy was in our Series 2 episode about pregnancy sex and about pregnancy experience and not feeling guilty.
No.
And you were like, I don't feel guilty for being a MILF. Now, Remy's story is interesting in how it interlinks with the Hotbed. So she came to our very first live show and talked a little bit there about some problems that she was having in her then relationship. About how you have high expectations and how needs weren't being met. And you were perhaps, I think you thought your partner was watching too much porn and then expecting certain things in the bedroom. Mm. Then by the time you're on our show, you and him had split up.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're on the show because I wanted to talk to you about the fact that you, since your
What I did
breakup,
after that.
Remy, What Remy Did Next.
What Remy Did Next. That'd be a good book. Well, it's quite funny because that recording was about a year ago.
It was exactly a year ago. Yeah. November.
So that's just before that is when I actually became single. So I have been single-ish for a year. But during this year, I spent a bit of time with a lady friend, and I dated a girl for a bit, and it was a phenomenal experience, to be honest with you. I'm quite surprised at how good it was. I thought it would be like any other situation, but just different body parts, but it wasn't. Yeah. It was a whole new vibe. And I'm quite private when it comes to like who I date and who I'm seeing, and I don't talk about certain elements of someone I'm dating or any relationship that I'm in. But she and I have since separated, and I have only good things to say, and I have spoken to her about it, and we're friends as well. So yeah, it's cool.
So you've talked about it a little bit on your own podcast,
yes.
All Right for a Mum, which yes. Anarchy and I talked about a bit in the intro. And you said in that podcast episode where you sort of announced it, at that point you were just done with men because you'd had you just had enough. And
yeah.
Is that what yeah. made you, because you met her on...
I love how you said announced. I don't believe in coming out. I also said that. So I totally hear where you're coming from. But my thing was, I guess it's going to come up because everybody in my life knew that we were seeing each other.
Yeah.
And then when we were done, I was like, my co-host, Carrie, said to me, like, do you think you're going to talk about it? And I said, I don't know, we'll see, maybe, yeah. And then we did, we had a chat about it. But I was done with men because I was heartbroken. And I'm quite an extreme person anyway. But I was just like, you know, you can literally have it all with somebody and it can still not work out. And that's probably what you learn from growing up. But I was in that relationship for 4.5 years, from 19 to 23.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time I was thinking about my love life future, in my head, there were two options. And it was be celibate forever, which I was open to, or try something new. And so I was like, I think I want to try dating girls. And most of my friends are on the sexuality spectrum, and I never was. And I was one of the few that, like, I never looked at a girl and thought, oh, like, she looks a bit saucy, like, nothing. And then when I was like, I'm done with men, like, there was no heat. Like, I just looked at them and felt like, oh, another one. and then even with girls, I didn't really feel that much. And then I met this particular girl and we just hit it off. We got on like a house on fire. And the rest was history, really.
So when you met her through a dating app, her.
Yes, I did.
Did that not feel odd to just start even downloading that app? I suppose, was that your first step towards this kind
of curiosity? It didn't. No, well, I've always been curious about dating apps because my generation, the millennial generation, are the generation of dating apps. However, I was in a relationship when dating apps really took off, so I never had that. I never went on loads of dates off of Tinder or any of that kind of stuff. So I was always curious about what they were like, but not in a, I want to be on one. It was just like my friends would like meet these strangers on the internet and then they'd be in relationships 3 weeks later and I was confused. So when I was on the app, I didn't really take it that seriously. I just thought it was like, it was something fun to pass the time, to be honest with you. Like if my daughter was in bed and I'd done all my work and it was like, okay, well, I'll have a look and see what's going on. It wasn't weird meeting her on the app. It was weird meeting her in person after we'd met on the app. That was the bit that I was like, oh my God, what if she's a sociopath? But we did FaceTime before we met in person.
Yeah.
And I threw out all of my kind of non-negotiables during that first conversation. It would be things like, don't turn up at my house randomly. Like, I know it sounds weird, but like, or before we sleep together, we have to get sexually tested. And yeah. I don't care if you've been tested since your last partner and I've been tested since my last partner, we have to go and get tested together. But the first and only time I've never had any kind of protest about that is with her. Most people assume that if you want them to get tested, in my opinion, or in my findings, it's because you think there's something wrong with them. And my thing is, no, it's the complete opposite. You look like there's nothing wrong with you and this could be too good to be true. And I don't want to find out after we've done something and then I'm screwed for life. Or not screwed for life, because HIV is not a death sentence. And there are so many other STDs that you can contract that are less than that. But I just think it's good health practice. But yeah, in general, I get a bit of grief for it. But from her, it was, we did a home testing kit and sent it off, and it was really chilled.
What were the other main differences that you found dating her? And obviously she's an individual, so there's always going to be differences. But was there any conclusions that you could draw as to like the difference between dating or sleeping with a woman compared to the men that you'd been
the
with?
The sex is amazing. Oh my God. The sex is amazing. It's hilarious because I have one of my really close friends is like a full-blown lesbian, and she always talks to us about like great sex. And before I started seeing the girl that I dated, my opinion on sex was, it's cool. That was like, even if I had like what I would say, oh, this was the best sex ever, it was still, it's cool. Like, I could go without it. I've been celibate twice by choice, once for 2 years and once for 7 months. Mm-hmm. Like, it just wasn't something that I was like, oh, I have to. Like, people who were like, I have to have sex and haven't had it in 5 days, I just didn't understand them. And then I started dating her, and I was surprised at how different it was and how good it was and how open and like, because there's a main component that you have with a man when having sex with a woman. I mean, you can buy one, but like in general, there's no penis. So I thought that because of that, it's like basically foreplay. Mm-hmm. And then we had sex and then I was like, wow. And then it just kept getting better. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the hardest parts to let go of, because I was like, this is crazy. I've never had consistently good sex like this before in my life.
So this is interesting. So a lot of this series has all been about the orgasm gap and some research done by the Kinsey Institute shows that basically gay men and straight men have an orgasm 91% of the time.
91% of the time.
Yeah, and then lesbians are like about, well, sorry, then straight women are quite low down at like 65%.
Yeah.
Bisexual women just above that, and then lesbians are somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
So
I believe it.
Yeah.
I've only ever had sex with one woman, and she blew every bloke I've ever slept with out the water.
Why do you think that was? I mean, she obviously, let's not take away from her skills, just because she's obviously a skillful person.
Well, this is interesting. I believe that she is skillful, but it was a reciprocal situation and she was equally as satisfied. And that surprised me, because I didn't think that as a woman who'd never been with a woman physically, I would be able to satisfy her. And I remember saying, quite embarrassingly, two things, actually. The first thing that was another difference was seeing another woman's body up close.
Yeah.
Like, I thought after I'd given birth that my vagina was weird. And I know that sounds like a really strange thing to say, but I had an episiotomy after I gave birth. And so I just assumed that it just wasn't normal anymore. And I know they say no two vaginas are the same, but I just felt like, well, mine just isn't normal because I can still feel my scar.
Yeah.
The first time we had sex afterwards, I said to her during like pillow talk, like, basically, is it normal? And she was like, what kind of question is that? Of course it is. And I was like, you can say it's not because I've had a baby. And she was like, it's very normal and it's like no other I've seen. And then the other thing was, just as she was skillful and knew what I would like, I knew what she would like. But I think part of the reason why it was good was because we were attracted to each other, but also because there's a certain understanding of what you would like. And so even if you're not necessarily doing what the person would like, you know what you would like. And as women, we're taught not to, I find, we're taught not to embrace our sensuality and our sexuality and our sexual appetite. Mm-hmm. And so everybody is a bit kind of aware of that. But when there's two of you who both know that, like, there's that kind of, not big elephant, but small elephant in the room, the conversation, you can have the conversation about it. You can talk about it. I've never spoken about sex.
Yeah.
Not with somebody I was with, like, you have like flirty chats or banter, but an actual, genuinely serious conversation about what you like, and like you feel like the person is taking it in and digesting it. It was amazing, but it was also like no other experience I've ever had before.
And did you find that pleasing another woman came as second nature to you, or were you a bit intimidated when you first started?
I was intimidated but open to trying.
Yeah.
And it was, I enjoyed it more than having sex with a man. I think that, no, that's a lie. I enjoyed the whole experience more than having sex with a man. I would say that for me, unless everything is done in a timely manner, which it's, you can't like put a time on sex. Sleeping with guys, I always have had moments where I'm like, oh, like this feels a bit uncomfortable, or what do I look like? Just a bit more self-conscious. Mm-hmm. There was a lack of like self-consciousness that I had. So on a whole, I was more relaxed and I was more into it. And I think part of the reason why I put that pressure on myself when I was sleeping with men was because they didn't put it on me, was because I wanted to look like the nice way and the right way. And because men do tend to watch more porn than women.
Yeah. So I was going to ask about the male gaze and, you know, the fact that porn and films and TV are all filmed from the point of view of the man, making us as women feel very self-conscious of what we look like. And is that completely gone, you know, when you sleep with a woman? Because you're just thinking she understands.
No, it depends how masculine that woman is. It depends if she has a type. All of the same issues that you have in a straight or heterosexual sexual relationship. It's not completely gone. It's just less obvious. But it makes a huge difference. And it made me realise, especially toward when we had decided that we weren't going to see each other anymore, it made me realise how much external influences you allow to infiltrate something that is very private between two people. Because if I had not had any external influences in previous relationships, I wonder what they would have been like, or less so, like the one that we had. Because, yeah, it was just, it's just a whole, you put less pressure on yourself, you have less expectation, you have different expectations. So, yeah, it's cool.
And are you now, so that relationship is over, are you now kind of like back to just sleeping with or dating men?
Strictly or
are you just
dickly.
Is that the follow-up to Strictly kind of thing?
No, I mean, I was never not attracted to men. I just didn't want anything to do with them. And now I feel like I'm open. It's funny because, you know, you get those forms and then they ask you like your ethnicity, your age and your sexuality. And by default, I'd been still been ticking straight. And then recently I was like, well, actually, I'm not straight. And then I started to think about like the sexuality spectrum, and I don't feel like I'm stereotypically a part of the LGBT community, but I am, and I'm very proud of that. I don't fully know what that means, and because of that, I feel like it's hard for me to say I identify with one particular sexuality. So I don't have an answer for that, and I feel like this is a very like young person, millennial-ish way of thinking about things, but I'm just like, whoever I meet and I vibe with is who I meet and I vibe with.
Millennial, she's a millennial. Yes, she is.
Oh, I thought you were going to sing, I thought you were going to sing Robbie Williams.
What?
Millennial.
Oh, yeah, see, that's another good one.
Yeah. What was the first song? Was that anything? I didn't
know
that song.
Like, I think it was the tune of Danger Mouse, but I put millennial over the top.
Oh, right, sorry. That cultural reference is lost on me, although it shouldn't be because my son has been Danger Mouse now for 6 weeks. So back to millennials. Yeah, Remy is a millennial, and she will refer to herself as a millennial. I think she probably finds it a bit annoying, but it's a useful shorthand for what she's saying. And it gives me great hope. It makes me sound like such an old nana now, but it does give me great hope that people like her exist, and that attitude of just, yeah, I'm just dating who I'm dating and it's all cool and there's no shame. That's the future. At least I hope it is.
Yeah. It does make me feel very prudish as my Gen X kind of, you know, heritage, because I think, yeah, but it's interesting because we read so many studies saying that millennials aren't having sex and that they're all taking pictures of Korean street food and stuff and in place of sex. And I sort of think I'm encouraged to know that there are people out there having sex, and not only doing that, probably doing it in a more adventurous and interesting way than the previous generation did, with less hang-ups.
Yeah. There's the sex recession, isn't there? There's a whole article about that in The Atlantic, which I'll put in the show notes. I'm now going to throw to my little mini interview with Dr. Karen Gurney at The Sex Doctor, all about sexuality. 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 So, Dr. Karen.
Hi, Lisa.
We talked about the Kinsey scale and how it's not generally considered that people are 100% straight or 100% gay. there are lots of shades of grey in between, and people can change from one day really to the next, or one incident to the next. What are your thoughts on this?
Kinsey was so groundbreaking in his time, so ahead of his time, actually. The Kinsey scale did wonderful things for sexuality because he really opened up the discourse that sexual orientation isn't binary, but also most people sit somewhere in the middle. And we know that's backed up by science, actually, that most people's sexuality is fluid and somewhere in the middle of entirely straight or entirely gay in terms of who they're attracted to. I guess what's interesting about this is how it's kind of changed over time. So Kinsey's scale was great and did wonderful things, but it was really just about sexual orientation as kind of one construct. And we know that sexual orientation is much more than who you have sex with. And so it kind of moved on a couple of decades later with someone called Klein, who came up with a modified version of the Kinsey scale that talked about sexuality in a much more comprehensive way. So Klein talked about a grid, if you like, and this grid contains the past, the present, so what you're doing now, and what you'd like to be doing in the future. And within these three areas, Klein talked about there being seven scales, and those scales were who you're attracted to, who you have sex with, who you fantasize about, who you feel the most emotional connection with, so this is which gender, obviously, who you prefer to socialize with, which community you feel fits you best, and how you like to self-identify, so what labels might be important to you. So if you think about all of those different constructs and then you think about them in the past and the present and the future, already you get a much more varied view of sexual orientation than we have with Kinsey scale, which is kind of this straight or gay, either or, although you can be in the middle. And I find it, Klein's version is quite a useful one to talk through with people. And I often use it with people who are worrying about their sexuality because, for example, it's really common for women who identify as heterosexual to fantasize exclusively about women. It's really common. It's also really common for women who identify as lesbian to prefer the company of men. So there's all kinds of different things about who we are that come into sexual orientation other than who we have sex with. And it can really help to like loosen the idea that, well, I have to be this thing or that thing. No, actually, you don't. You can be attracted to women but prefer sex with men. You can fantasize about women but have sex with men. It really doesn't matter. But what's interesting about sexual orientation is we've also moved on from there. You know, that's a helpful construct because it opens things up from Kinsey in a good way. But we've moved on from there still now. And we're starting to think about sexual orientation and how it relates to gender identity. So, for example, when we say we are heterosexual, means that if you're female, you're attracted to men. What exactly about men are you attracted to? So are we talking about sex? So the fact they've got a penis, for example? Or are we talking about gender? The fact that they might present themselves in a particular way, the fact they might take on particular gender roles, the fact they might dress in a particular way. And given that we're also breaking down ideas of gender, it starts to really confuse sexual orientation. Because, for example, you might be attracted to men, but what if when you meet that man, you find out that that man is a trans man who hasn't had bottom surgery and doesn't have a penis? Are you still attracted to that man? Because actually you're attracted to the gender construct of male, not the sex construct, which is the penis. So it becomes a bit more interesting because imagine that you're a woman who's attracted to a particular type of man, a man that has an inverted commas feminine qualities or prefers to dress in a way that might be considered to fit with that kind of stereotype. Then what happens if you meet a woman who is a very androgynous woman? So it's not really the same. You know, the gender constructs around men and women are so varied that that's where sexual orientation becomes a bit more blurred. Because if you're attracted to people that present themselves in a particular way, they might be male or female, actually, and you might find them attractive. It doesn't mean anything about who you are. It's about what you're attracted to, not who you are.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So It's quite a hard concept to explain, but essentially I think what's going to happen with sexual orientation, a bit like what we're seeing with gender, is we're going to really start to move away from labels.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to start to be thinking about sexual orientation, to the things that we're interested in, being less about gender, so same sex or opposite sex attraction, but more about the things that we're into.
Mm-hmm.
So your sexual orientation might be that you're into kink,
mm-hmm.
or it might be that you prefer casual sex,
mm-hmm.
or it might be that you're into polyamory,
mm-hmm.
and it also might be that you're attracted to people whose gender presentation is a particular way.
Yeah.
But it will be less about gender, I think, moving forward. And that will be a good thing for everybody, actually.
It will, but it's so different to how we are or how we have all been raised. And I'm talking about probably people of my generation and above, because I do agree that the younger millennials and Gen Z. It's Gen Z, sorry. It's showing my age, ironically. I think that they are much more open to this sort of new world. But for people of my age and above, I think it's quite tricky, because we have been raised that the norm is mm-hmm. heterosexual and cisgendered, and any deviation, in inverted commas, from that is to some degree problematic.
Yes, absolutely. We live in a very heterocentric society mm. where it's assumed that you're straight
mm.
until proven otherwise. And
yeah,
that's partly
odd.
Why people struggle mm. when they find themselves attracted to people who they don't feel fit that what's expected of them. It is good for everyone to move away from that
mm.
for obvious reasons, because it causes people a lot of pain and
yeah.
a lot of worry, actually. It causes some people a lot of worry. But essentially, as you say, what's coming through from the younger generations, and also a lot of what we're seeing in the media these days, is that the fluidity around sexual orientation, it is something that's been seen to be the new way forward. And I guess that I think that's what we'll see a bit more of.
And just imagine everything else we can talk about when we're not talking about labels.
Yeah. And labels do so much harm in so many ways.
Mm, agreed. Thank you very much, Dr. Karen.
You're welcome.
Dr. Karen Gurney, as wise as ever, talking about the future and how things will be really different probably for our kids growing up. And it's this kind of utopia of just equal, everyone's equal, it's free love, everyone is accepted, no one's put into a box, we can just do what we want.
Hmm.
We're probably a bit past it.
We'll be too old.
Yeah, but we can celebrate it in our children.
No, or we would have, at that point, we would have discovered some sort of anti-aging elixir, and we'll be living in these lovely kind of free pagan communities of elderly people who don't look elderly and having sex with avatars.
Sounds good.
I've already booked my place.
Yeah,
have you not seen it?
Yeah, count me in. Now, your homework this week is to do the Klein sexuality test, because the University of Southampton have got an interactive version of it on their website, which embarrassingly Aniki and I could not do because it didn't work in our browser.
No.
But we'll put the link in the show notes. So please have a look. And I basically know from what Karen just said about it that I'm very far from straight.
So I'm a bit scared to do it, because I think if I do it, what does it mean for the current relationship you're in?
Nothing, because I think if you just go with the mindset of you fall in love with someone, with people, rather than a gender.
Or you could map it out so mm. that you could think of it as something... Unfortunately, men don't live as long as women. And if your partner's quite a bit older than you, if that's my scenario, then I could have a good sort of 15-year bisexual lesbian relationship
yeah.
from 75 to 85.
It could be the best decade of your life.
Yeah, I'm saving it all up till then.
Yeah, watch this space, people. You could be the lucky woman.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.